Good evening. I want to thank everyone for coming out again tonight. I want to thank the elders and Mike for letting me get up here and preach to you tonight. And tonight's lesson is titled, What's Your Excuse? Nearly everyone is guilty of making an excuse at one time or another. A lot of times we are making an excuse to justify how we feel about something or why we will not do something. And people often give an excuse to not do the will of God. There are plenty of excuses that people give to not obey the gospel and become a Christian. And Christians are sometimes guilty of making excuses for not doing their duty toward God. Excuse making is very old and common. We have an example of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, verses 9 through 13. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." When anyone knows the will of God and violates it in any way, they are without an excuse. Eve, she blamed the serpent. She blamed that the serpent deceived her instead of owning up to her mistake. And Adam, he blames Eve, and also sounds like he's blaming God in verse 12. When he says, "The woman who you gave to be with me." And they both had an excuse to why they ate from the tree. They blamed others and did not take responsibility. Another example that we have in the Bible is Moses. In Exodus 4, verse 1. Then Moses said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" Also in verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." First, he indicates that they will not believe him or listen to him. Isn't this a common excuse for Christians to not teach others about the Bible today? And second, he claims that he is not a good speaker. Isn't this another type of excuse that Christians give for not developing their talents? Nevertheless, Moses did develop his talents and went on to be one of the greatest leaders of all to ever live. We have another example of King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, 2 and 3. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." And God's instructions were, for Saul, they were very plain. And so Samuel was sent to rebuke King Saul for his disobedience in 1 Samuel 15, 17 through 21. Samuel said, Is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choices of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Saul's excuse was that it was the people's fault. So Samuel continues his strong rebuke in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. As shown in verse 24, the real truth is finally revealed. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words. because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Jesus gave a parable to combat excuse making in Luke 14, 16 through 24. But he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and blind and lame. And the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. They were invited to the big dinner, but they all had an excuse for not attending. The first made an excuse regarding his property or possessions. You would think that if you are to buy land, you would have already gone out to see it before you bought it. Even if he did buy it without seeing it first, it was not necessary to go and see it now. Why not go to the dinner first? Many today excuse themselves for not doing the will of God because of their property or possessions. They may use an excuse like, I'm building a house, I'm trying to find a house to buy, buying a car, the list goes on and on. The second man made an excuse in the realm of business or livelihood. This is another flimsy excuse. If he had already bought the oxen, he didn't have to test them during the feast. How many excuse themselves from the Lord's invitation, the worship service, or the Lord's work because they have a business to run or a job that conflicts? They claim that they must do it to make a living. However, Jesus warned in John 6:27, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, the Father, God has set his seal. The third made an excuse regarding family relationships. The invitation was given to all. Why not bring his new wife to the feast? How many through the years have used their families as an excuse for not doing the will of God? Some typical excuses today. We make excuses for our sinful behavior. Some excuse themselves by saying, I can't help it, it's just the way I am, or the way I was born. Homosexuals excuse their sinful behavior by saying that they were born that way and they just can't help it. God declares otherwise in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Some think that they were born with a bad temper and they just can't help it. In James 1:19-20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Young people have been known to say, everybody else is doing it, everybody else is wearing it, and everybody else is going. Sometimes parents and children will argue over these things. It is highly unlikely that everyone is doing it, but even if they were, it would not excuse you for doing it. If everybody at school lies, cheats, steals, does this give you the right to do it? In Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Another excuse people have is that at least I'm not as bad as others. They may say, I may talk hateful to my wife, but at least I don't hit her. I don't have time to teach the Bible to my kids, but at least I don't let them go hungry. I am not a Christian, but at least I am not as bad as some of the Christians I know. I'm not a strong Christian, but at least I am not as bad as some of the hypocrites in church. Do we really think that God will accept these excuses? And Christians are just as bad at making excuses as non-Christians. Some make excuses for not attending services regularly, attending church every time the doors are open. They may just not want to go or feel like if they go Sunday morning they have met their obligation. But God has said otherwise in Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking your own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We should want to come together as many times as possible with fellow Christians. If you are one of the ones who only comes on Sundays or when it is convenient for you, please take a second and figure out what's important to you. We need to focus on what's important in life, and what is most important in any of our lives is our walk with God. And God has said that we need to be at church at all times. And if that is important to you, then you need to try to make it happen. Another excuse they have is about obeying the gospel. Some make excuses for not obeying the gospel. They say that they are just not ready to give up all the fun they are having pursuing their worldly things. They may not want to obey because someone in their family is not faithful or has already passed away and they were not faithful. If they have already passed away, then there is nothing we can do about that now. But if they are still living, then maybe the person contemplating following the gospel can be a good influence on them. They shouldn't base their beliefs on someone else, including family, only what the Bible says. They may be afraid to obey the gospel. It is scary to become a Christian. You know that it is not going to be easy because of everything out in the world, but it will be worth it in the end. Another excuse that Christians make is about teaching others. They may be afraid to teach others. Maybe they do not have the confidence they should have in spreading the word. While we may not be the best speakers, which we read about Moses earlier, we still should be attempting it. We could bring someone along with us that has been a Christian longer and has more knowledge to talk to others with us. Another excuse could be about praying and studying the Word of God. And both of these people can say that they don't have time. We need to think about our priorities in this life. Praying and studying should be at the top of our list because that will make our relationship stronger with God. It does not take a long time to say a prayer, and you could also spend an hour of your day studying the Bible. If something is important to you, then you should make time for it and not make any excuses. Do we think that God will accept any of our excuses? When we make excuses to not worship the Lord, we are telling Him that He is not important to us, and we have better things to do than to serve Him, and that He is unworthy of our reverence and respect. And there is a sad conclusion for all excuse makers. God will not accept man's excuses. All unbelievers are without an excuse from God, in Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without an excuse. Those that condemn others for their wickedness but does the same things are without an excuse. In Romans 2:1, therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And in our parable, the master was angry when the people refused the invitation. In Luke 14:21-24, and the slave came back and reported to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, and the lame. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. God the Father has done much in providing redemption for the sinful man. He is angered when people make excuses for not accepting His invitation. No excuses will be accepted in the day of judgment. In Luke 13:24-27, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught it in your streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers. And God will convict all ungodly excuse makers in that great day. In Jude 14:15. It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. There is no excuse for sin. So what's your excuse? We should not have an excuse for not putting God first in our lives. That means attending services regularly, studying, teaching, etc. If you are not a Christian, then what is your excuse for not becoming one? God has laid out the plan for you all. All you have to do is follow it. And the plan is, you must hear the word in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. You must believe. Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And you must repent. In Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And you must confess in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Then you must be baptized, you must be immersed in the water, Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then you must remain faithful. In Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have fallen back into the world. What's your excuse for not getting your life right with God? Once you do that, as together we stand and sing.